Today on Money in the Morning, Wealthfront cashes in on cash, according to news outlet Reuters. And USA Today reports that, yes, you just might be able to save some money on your car insurance. Live from my bomb's half-finished basement just outside of Detroit, Michigan. I'm Joe Salcihi, Average Joe Money on Twitter. Welcome to Money in the Morning, the show where we go over not one but two headlines ripped from the financial press, and today is no exception. Not only do we read them like some podcasts do, but you know what we do? We also talk about what they might mean to your wallet, and as if that's not enough, we'll then take the ideas from these two headlines and we'll combine them into something we call the big idea that you can take home with you today. We're so excited because this episode of Money in the Morning is presented by Emperor Investments. Automated investing refined, Emperor offers 100% equity portfolios designed to earn dividends while you enjoy your life. For 6 months, 100% free use. Use our link, emperorinvest.com/MITM. That's emperorinvests.com/MITM. By the way, it's not Emperor Investments. That'll take you to a different place. emperorinvest.com/MITM. So happy to have Emperor Investments on board. People that know me know how much I like Emperor Investments. So thanks a ton to them for helping us make this podcast go. All right, we've got some exciting headlines today. So Laura, why don't you kick this thing off for us, huh?
And now, your first Money in the Morning headline.
Our first headline comes to us from Reuters. This is written by Anna Herrera. Robo-advisor Wealthfront launches cash account. You see this? Another company getting into the business of cash. And it's funny because they talk about how cash doesn't pay, yet all these companies getting into cash. Why is that? Why would a company invest in cash? Oh, we'll talk about that in a second. But let's see exactly what's up here first, shall we? Anna writes, Wealthfront, one of the largest digital wealth management firms known as robo-advisors, said on Thursday it's expanding its suite of financial products by introducing a cash account with a rate of deposits of 2.24%, significantly higher than the average U.S. rate. 2.24%. It's not bad, is it? The accounts will be launched through partnerships with several banks, including East West Bank and New York Community Bank, will be protected by the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, FDIC, that is, for up to $1 million, the company said. Average rates at insured U.S. depository institutions, including mainstream banks, are 0.06% for checking and a whopping 0.09% for savings, according to the FDIC. Quote, our clients hold almost $12 billion in cash, and a lot of it's earning next to nothing, Dan Carroll, Wealthfront's founder and chief strategy officer, said in an interview. We think they have the opportunity to get more out of it. Wealthfront clients will be able to open the account by depositing as little as $1, the company said. Financial technology companies have started to move beyond their initial area of focus, and several are seeking to lure deposits through higher interest rates than those offered by banks. Student lender Social Finance last year launched a checking account with a 2% interest rate, and British money transfer company TransferWise introduced a low-cost multi-currency account. Not all launches have gone smoothly, however. In December, trading startup Robinhood suspended the launch of what it called a checking and savings service offering 3% interest after reports that the deposits might not be insured by the Securities Investor Protection Corporation, SIPC, which covers cash accounts at brokerages as originally marketed by the company. By the way, just Anna, the writer of this piece, may not know that. That's not even really what SIPC does. That's kind of an after effect of what SIPC does. Really, what SIPC insurance does versus FDIC, SIPC insurance is really meant to make sure that if your broker runs away with your shares, that you actually are still whole, so that your shares can safely be maintained in an account. I think, by the way, and we'll get back here into the story in a second, I think that we're going to see companies like, things like Bitcoin have something like an SIPC insurance that's demanded over time. We talked about how initially these companies didn't want any government regulation. Well, the problem is that we know there've been so many scams. There've been so many bad things that have happened that there's no way around it. So I think that what we're going to see in the future, I think we're going to see an SIPC insurance where you put money in some blockchain place and SIPC insurance will be there. It's not there yet. So don't expect your blockchain to be insured if you decide to go that route. All right. Back to talking about Wealthfront here. Wealthfront, which is more than $11 billion in assets under management, is best known for its robo-advisor function of automating the creation and management of portfolios made up of low-cost exchange-traded funds. The Silicon Valley startup hopes to be able to automate the management of all of its customers' finances and said the launch of the cash account was a step toward that goal. That's courtesy of Reuters, and I'll link to it on my Twitter feed at Average Joe Money. Let's talk for a second about this because there's a lot there. First of all, for those of you that are new to this game, what the heck is a robo-advisor? Well, robo-advisor is a company that, and I don't like this name, but a robo-advisor is a company that takes your money and automatically invests it in a series of places. And the way that most of them do it, not today's sponsor, Emperor Investments, who we'll get back to here in a little bit and tell you a little bit about them, but what most of them do is they have exchange-traded funds or mutual funds, and they diversify your money into a pie, generally based on some check form that you filled out, and then you invest your money. They're trying to automate a lot of this service. The reason I don't like the name, by the way, has nothing to do with them being good or bad at their job. I think most of these companies use something we call modern portfolio theory, which is a very technical way of managing assets to make sure that you don't get smoked, I guess. Is that the technical term? Get smoked? So to make sure that you don't blow yourself up when it comes to your investing philosophy, they don't overexpose you to one area too much. And so what they do is a very nice job at automating the part that is fairly easy. The place I have a problem with the term robo-advisor isn't the robo half, it's the advisor half. They really don't do a lot of advising. And so if you're comparing a robo-advisor to a human advisor, I think those are two totally different things that you're looking at. But back to this piece. So that's the first thing. What's a robo-advisor? That's what a robo-advisor is. The second thing is, why cash? Why cash? And it's funny because, as the piece notes, we've seen a lot of companies move toward cash. And I think it's because it's low-hanging fruit. On my Stacking Benjamins podcast, we've interviewed lots of fintech people getting into cash. And what they say is, where brick-and-mortar banks will use the difference between that 0.06% that you may be getting and the 3% or 4% that they're getting, they'll use the difference between that to help them maintain their brick and mortar operations. Well, a lot of these Silicon Valley companies don't have any of that overhead. So this becomes essentially a bunch of free money, and they can split a lot of it with you, which in one hand is absolutely fantastic because it forces the bigger brick and mortar banks to say, well, maybe we got to give people on Main Street a little bit more cash. That's good news. The bad news that's coming is that for people like my mother-in-law who don't do anything online, the problem is brick and mortar. And when you have a bank branch that people are walking into, that's a bunch of overhead that Silicon Valley doesn't have. And for people that aren't used to working on the internet, I think we're going to see more bank branches go bye-bye as a result of this. We've seen so many of these companies coming. Now, what's in it for Wealthfront? Sure, they're going to make some money here. I think there's a much bigger game that Wealthfront's playing. They said they're trying to automate everything. What do you know? You know that once you have somebody's cash, then it's easier to get the money into investments. So having one thing in the ecosystem and having another thing in the same ecosystem helps them capture more money. Give you an example, Microsoft. Microsoft, for anybody that has kids there or 50-year-olds like me who think they're kids, I play golf online, I'll do racing games sometimes. So they have this Xbox, right? And the, Microsoft is in computers. And what's interesting is that if you buy a Microsoft title, Microsoft a few years ago made it so that that title will also play on your PC. Guess what I have? I have an Xbox and I have all Mac products. I'm only half in the ecosystem. You know, the easier way for me to play games all the time, which, by the way, I'm not going to do, but the easier way for me to play games all the time is to get a PC instead of a Mac. You look at the all the Apple products and how well they work together. Speaking of products, I log in on one product on my iPad, and automatically it shows up on my Mac, shows up on my MacBook. They're all in the same ecosystem. Makes it much easier if you capture all that stuff. That's what Wealthfront's trying to do. Wealthfront is trying to build an ecosystem so that it's harder for you to leave. Fidelity just did the same thing when it came to their exchange-traded funds they're offering for free. They're losing money on that deal. They lose money when they give it to you for free. And why do they do it? Because tons of people gave them money to get into the free thing. And you know what's going to happen? Later on, they're going to do the thing that they pay for. So that's what's in it for Wealthfront. What does that mean to you, though? Let's get into that for just one second. Well, when it comes to cash, I think the big thing is if you're sitting in cash at 0.06 and all these online banks are at 2, you know, when we look over at Magnify Money, 2.5. Wealthfront's, by the way, that's a competitive interest rate. That's not one of the best interest rates out there. There are plenty of banks with higher interest rates than what Wealthfront has. And if that makes you almost crash your car because you're getting the 0.06 that they talk about in this article that the average person gets, there are tons of places getting in the twos. You are losing a lot when it comes to interest rates. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about that later. But you're losing a lot when it comes to interest rates if you're sitting at 0.06. What's your cash strategy? And I think that when I say cash strategy, it's not just about having a little bit of cash. It's about strategy, right? Where do you put your money? How much is going to go in checking? How much in a much higher interest savings? How much do you leave at a bank that's easy to get to? How much do you put so it's out? I think an overall cash strategy is a place to start. Let's say hi to everybody who's hanging out with us. We do this live on Facebook. By the way, if you're missing my partner, Bobby Rebell, Bobby had to close the kitchen today. She is out getting some great new recipes for her next concoction. So you're stuck with me today. Kelly's here. Hey, Kelly. Kelly says Lake Michigan Credit Union offers 3%. Another local offers 7% on the first $2,000. Now, the 3% might be an ongoing rate of return. And people should always look at the local credit union because the members are the owners of the credit union. So generally, they'll offer a little higher rate on savings and a little lower rate on things like auto loans. Home loans are tough because they all are at the same well. But you can generally borrow money for a little less and get a higher interest rate elsewhere. Now, the local credit union offering 7%, that, my friends, is what's called a loss leader. Nobody's making 7% on cash. So assuming that Kelly's got that number right, and that's an incredibly high number, I would, number one, they're losing money on that deal to capture assets. But then number two is I also worry when I see an interest rate that high. If an interest rate seems too good to be true, we've seen, now, this gets into a whole different pot, but there's FDIC, and then for credit unions, there's the NCUA. We've seen the NCUA step in or FDIC step in when companies start offering these incredibly high rates. And I don't know what's going on with the 7% interest rate, but given that that's true, hard to see how that's sustainable. Kathy's here. Hey, Kathy. Karen's here. Mike is here. Says we're going early today. Yes, we are. We record these at random times, and today we happen to be up a little early this morning. Mike says, jumping in a little late, but is the cash an FDIC-insured cash position? It is. So what Wealthfront's doing, Mike, is Wealthfront is taking cash. They pair with a couple banks. The banks are insuring it. Your money actually goes into bank accounts with these banks, and then but it has a Wealthfront logo. It's like white-labeled. Almost like they're slapping their label on these other banks' bank accounts. But that gives you the $1 million protection that you get at any other FDIC-insured account. Kathy says, I'm so nervous about online transactions, but getting better, even just shopping makes me nervous. You know, you're not alone. And I think that the downside of this is that we may see brick and mortar go away for people not comfortable with online shopping. My mother-in-law gets so frustrated when people go, oh, just go online. She's like, I don't go online. And the customer service reps get frustrated with her because of that. Karen is here. Karen says she thinks she knows somebody who can get me a discount on a PC. My son works for Microsoft, so I might have a hookup there. But I'm so deep in the ecosystem, and this is what Wealthfront's hoping. I'm so deep in the ecosystem, Karen, that Mac knows how hard it is for me to leave. Apple, I can hear the because they've got me. Everything sitting here making the show. I've got the iMac in front of me. I just read that headline off of my MacBook. We do our sound effects on the iPad. Don't know where my iPhone is. I'm so deep in it, and my kid works for Microsoft. I have an Xbox, though, and I love playing golf on my Xbox. Roger's here. He said he's listening from Japan. Holy cow. They let people listen from anywhere to this show. Glad you're enjoying it, Roger. Tiara's here. Says, what time is it there? Well, she's asking Roger what time it is, not me. I was going to say, it is early here. All right, let's move on to our second piece now that we've got that finished. Car insurance. How about we talk about that? We haven't talked about car insurance in a long time. 14 states where you could save money on your car insurance, according to USA Today. This piece, by the way, written by Jana Heron. Jana writes, the commercials are right. You really can save hundreds of dollars by switching your car insurance. On average, you could save, listen to this, $865 a year, or 37% off your current premium, but still maintain the exact same coverage according to a state-by-state analysis given exclusively to USA Today by Gabby, an insurance comparison site and app. By the way, as I'm reading this, they have a map of different states around the nation. For those of you with me live here, if you tell me what state you're in, we'll take a look at as many of these as possible to see how much money you could be saving on your car insurance, because I have to hover over it. And that'll also help everybody who's listening later find out, hopefully for them, what states they have. If I miss your state, by the way, I'll link to this at Average Joe Money on my Twitter feed. Drivers in Maine and Massachusetts would see the biggest discount percentage-wise at 47% if they switch policies. South Dakota drivers would see the smallest benefits by switching, a 25% drop. But South Dakota residents are overpaying by the least amount to begin with, $427 on average. It might sound gimmicky, but it actually does pay to shop around. Quote, the reason someone's overpaying is they bought a rate when it was cheap, but over time their life situation changed. They bought a different car, moved to another zip code, got married, said Gabby CEO and co-founder Hanno Fichtner. The company may now have an unattractive rate for your coverage. Whitney Rogers, 31-year-old mother of two who lives in Madisonville, Louisiana, has been with the same car insurance company since graduating from college. Eager to steady her financial situation by paying down debt, improving her credit score, and saving money where she could, she recently searched. A day later, she got a quote for the same coverage for her and her husband's cars, but it was for almost $900 less over 6 months. Quote, that savings is going to pay down our credit card debt, said Rogers, an inpatient clinical pharmacist. On average, residents who live in Louisiana, like Rogers, spend $3,111 a year for car insurance, but could save 37% or $1,159 by switching providers. Why are we paying too much? Many factors determine your car insurance premium. Some of them are personal attributes, such as your driving history and credit score. When those change, your insurer could offer higher or lower rates. For example, Rogers' recent effort to increase her credit score probably helped her get a better rate. Another factor is the insurance companies themselves. Some may prefer one type of driver over others, Fichtner said. There are companies that have favorable rates for good driving histories, while other companies have more attractive rates for older drivers, Fichtner said. If you have a low coverage amount when you first buy your policy, the same company may have unattractive rates when you want higher coverage. Your state also plays a big role. A state's crime rate, population density, legal environment, insurance competition contribute to an insurer's rates. States with many insurers competing with one another, such as Maine, often have rates that fluctuate more often. You're more likely to find bigger differences in rates when you shop around in those states, Fichtner said. All right, and then they just talk more about shopping around and getting quotes. One thing to think about, by the way, while you're getting quotes on insurances is to make sure you're comparing apples to apples. I've known a lot of insurance salespeople over my career, and I know that one trick that insurance salespeople will use is they'll change a few little things on your policy to give you less insurance so that they come out ahead. Make sure you're always comparing the same exact things side by side. By the way, when they talk about changing states, that happened to me. When we moved from Texas to Michigan recently, our rates went up. And I can see on this map here that it's interesting how state to state, it varies so, so much. And why is that? It's a little bit based on claims in the state, but a lot of times it has to do with insurance licensing and the insurance commission in that state. I know in Michigan, it's a little more onerous than it is in Texas. So because of that, a lot of the fees that companies have are jacked up. Plus, Michigan has a couple crazy provisions, which mean there's less competition in the state of Michigan than there is in Texas, which also made the rate go up. An Allstate agent that I used to have lunch with nearly once a week was the first person to tell me about searching at least once a year, because every time you have a birthday, things change. And at that time, your credit score didn't mean as much as it does now, but your credit score plays a big part now in your car insurance. They want to make sure that they get their money back. So as you pay down debt and increase your credit score, apply again. Let's see a few of these states that we have. Kelly's here. She's talking about Michigan has this no-fault insurance thing. Kelly, initially I was going to leave it at craziness, but it's a no-fault insurance provision, which makes a lot of people go, yeah, probably not going to compete here. The no-fault insurance thing is why Michigan rates are higher, partially because there's less competition. Kathy's in Missouri. In Missouri, the chart says that the average person pays $2,010 for their car insurance, and that's an overpayment by $775, according to USA Today here. Karen is in Montana. Average person in Montana pays $1,857. That's an average overpayment of $719. Tiara's in Texas, $2,543. Average overpayment of $833. Kelly and I are in Michigan. $2,992 is what we pay. Yeah, congratulations. Oh, average overpayment of $1,117 there. And let's see if we've got somebody else who wants to take a look. Let's just look at a couple more. Florida, $2,691 is the average there. Average overpayment of $858. California, $2,187. Average overpayment of $701. We'll be coming to California here at the end of next week. San Francisco, next Wednesday night. Hope anybody in the Bay Area can join us. And then, of course, Thursday night we'll be in Seattle. So let's take a look at Washington. $2,131. That's an average overpayment of $794. Oh, we didn't look at the East Coast at all. Why don't we do a couple of those? New York, $2,853. Average overpayment of $1,138. And how about we look at Virginia? $1,850. Average overpayment of $740. So while I like this, this is based, Rebecca's here in Connecticut, and Connecticut has, come on, Connecticut, there we are, $2,400, and that's an average overpayment of $983. Victor's here very late in the game for this little game. He's in Indiana, $1,795. I got to move south a little bit. Average overpayment, though, of $703. So I will caution people that while you can lower your rates on insurance, insurance companies aren't all created equal. And I'll give you an example. And this company isn't going to be happy that I'm going to say this first part. But you don't go to State Farm for a lower cost of insurance. And I've had maybe a couple people tell me, oh, yeah, I save money going to State Farm. No, you generally don't. And notice, look at State Farm's commercials. State Farm's commercials aren't even about that. State Farm's commercials are, when you need help, everything goes smoothly, right? All that stuff goes smoothly. That's what State Farm is selling. They're not selling low rates. So it depends on what's important to you. It depends on your claims experience. You can get a very, very low cost of insurance and at the same time, struggle then later when you have a claim. So there's no such thing as a free lunch, as mom always says. Let's see what people are saying about comparing their insurances. Lori's here. Hey, Lori. Lori says, I taught a colleague what a Monte Carlo simulation is today. I feel so smart. Who knew I'd actually learn something hanging out in the basement? I just said that live. That has nothing to do with what we're talking about here, Lori. And I just talked about it. But congratulations. And Monte Carlo simulations are so fun. And I love doing them. People are wondering what they are. That's a retirement simulator where you throw all somebody's numbers in and it tells you the percent likelihood you're going to actually retire when you want to. If there was only a Monte Carlo simulation about when you're going to have your next car crash and the odds that you actually have the right amount of car insurance. Kathy says, I found in fine print on last policy that if someone out of home drives my vehicle, it drops to minimum coverage. Yeah, you want to watch out for people who aren't in the family driving your vehicles. Kathy says she shops every 6 months upon renewal. Tiara says, I hate that I have to give up so much information to get a quote so I compare companies. My social's just floating out there. You know what I think, Tiara? I think that the Russians already got all my stuff. I just assume that they already have. And I then make sure for me, because I've been using my credit a lot lately, I just monitor my identity. My credit card companies have credit monitoring while I have it open. But a lot of new things like my debit card now, I shut it off. I can shut it off when I'm not using it, which is awesome. I know a lot of credit cards are now allowing you to shut them off when you're not using them, which is pretty powerful. We're going to see a lot more of that in the future. All right, let's talk a little bit about our sponsor here because of the fact that we're talking about saving money and we're talking about efficiency and why companies like Wealthfront are going after cash. Well, there's a reason for that. It's because of the fact that they want to help you with their ecosystem, stay in their ecosystem. They also want to help you free up money so that you can invest more. And when you invest, the robo that we love is called Emperor Investments. We love Emperor Investments because it's automated investing refined. Let's talk for a second about why we asked Emperor Investments to be our first true sponsor of this show. Whenever you think about investing, you need to ask yourself about all the different risks that you're taking. And Emperor's investment philosophy prioritizes consistency without sacrificing returns. Now, how does that happen? What does that mean? They only custom build your portfolio out of companies that have a long track record of consistent dividend payments, are likely to continue paying in the future, and that can be purchased at a fair price. You might be asking yourself, okay, so how do they customize it if it's automated? Well, because everybody reacts to financial losses differently, Emperor begins by getting to know you. But unlike other robos, they also get to know your goals so they can further personalize your portfolio across different industries that fit your goal. We begin, as I've said countless times, with the end in mind. I love that. Emperor Investments is a great way to set your financial goals and get on the path to achieving them through investing. And how about this? Because you're listening to Money in the Morning, our friends at Emperor are giving us a special deal. How about 6 months free? Here's how you get it. Head to emperorinvests.com/MITM. Don't go to Emperor Investments. That's a different site. The site's emperorinvest.com/MITM for 6 months free. That's emperorinvest.com/MITM. By the way, the big difference between Emperor Investments and other robos like Wealthfront that we talked about today, individual securities. You have individual securities in your portfolio that are purchased in even fractional shares. So very powerful. Imagine you could have the S&P 500, but take out all the companies that really don't fit, right? When you get the S&P 500, you end up getting just all the companies. But let's say you've got a bunch of them that don't fit your goal. We get to take those out. Pretty neat what Emperor does. The more I hear about it, the more I really like it. And the main pillar of it is dividends. A dividend is money in your pocket immediately, which you don't have to worry about the company going up in value later if you get the dividend in your pocket today. A bird in the hand is mom's. I'm full of momisms today, aren't I? All right. Time for what we call the big idea today. The big idea is where we take these two headlines. And how are we going to talk about, on one hand, Wealthfront, who is looking at cash and adding a cash account that pays a good return, not the best return, but pays a good, very competitive return to build their ecosystem, with the takeaway being, how's your cash strategy? And on the other end, 14 states where you could save money. Looks like a lot of states where you could save money on your car insurance. We looked at a ton of those. And by the way, a takeaway there, systemize your rate check. Whenever you have a birthday, just immediately, hey, it's my birthday. That means I have to change the smoke alarm batteries, if you still have batteries in your smoke alarm. And then number two, I should go check my car insurance, my homeowner's insurance, those things. But I think there's a bigger idea here, which I've actually been hiding this one. We've had a few people guessing, I'm sure, what the big idea is today. And I don't think today you're going to get it. Because the two things we talked about today, frankly, kind of small rocks. And when we look at a jar and we fill it full of rocks, you've got these huge rocks that take up a lot of volume, and you have these small rocks that kind of fill in around it. And a good financial plan, a good plan of attack when it comes to deciding what to focus on with your financial plan is to focus on what those big rocks are. And I don't think the big rock is moving your cash from 0.06 to 0.2 or even to 2.0. Because if you're getting 2% on your money versus 0.06 and you have $10,000 sitting in cash, let's do the math on that, shall we? A lot of people, I'm doing this in front of a room full of people here. So this is going to be a good time. But 2% obviously on $10,000 is nothing more fun than doing math live. Excuse me, in 0.06 rather, is $6. $6. And we could turn $6 into, you can hear my calculator clicking, into $200. Okay. It's $194 we made by moving $10,000 of cash over. Don't get me wrong, I don't want to give away $194, but when we take a look at your living condition that big, huge car that you drive that you can't afford. We did a story recently when it came to somebody's financial situation where they have some monster car loans, $60,000 in car loans, and they're driving cars they just can't afford. They don't have any retirement. People, by the way, online helping me as I nervously did that with my math. Thank you, Kathy. But looking at this amount of money that I make versus the same amount of time spent changing over my car or where I live or paying down my credit card debt, maybe not a ton. And on the other side, car insurance, sure, you could save $700, $800, aka four times as much money comparing your car insurance to moving your cash. Still, $700, $800, it's a bigger rock, but is that the biggest rock? So we compare what we're going to do next when it comes to our financial future. Take a look at those. I'll tell you, a lot of people will change their checking account because I've seen it over and over and over and over. I asked them if they've ever looked at their car insurance and changing that around. No. Why? I don't know. I've always had the same agent. How often have you had to call that agent? I never call that agent, but I like her. Okay. Four times as much money changing around your car insurance as your cash. Changing where you live if you need more money, or changing the car that you drive if you need more money, could be a ton more money than that. Focus on the big rocks, people. And I think that's our big takeaway. All right. Math on the fly. I learned, not my strong suit. Thanks a lot, everybody, for hanging out with us today. That's Money in the Morning. We'll see you next time back here. Go Stacks of Benjamins. Bye-bye.
This show is created by Joe Saul-Sehy, hosted and produced by Bobby Rebell and Joe Saul-Sehy, is engineered by Caden Thompson, and all put together by a pack of well-trained ferrets down here in Joe's mom's basement. You'll find Bobby at the Financial Grown-Up Podcast and Joe at the Stacking Benjamin Show. Go say hi to them there, too. Online, visit us on Twitter at @AverageJoeMoney and at Bobby Rebell, or come join a live recording at our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/iStackBenjamins. I know you already know this too, but Money in the Morning is for entertainment purposes only. You should not act on anything recommended by a bunch of entertainers in a basement or even a Manhattan kitchen without first consulting your financial advisor, and second, dude, have your head examined. Have headlines you'd like us to discuss? Send them to joe@stackingbenjamins.com or put them on our Stacking Benjamins closed Facebook group. This show is a collaboration of Stacking Benjamins LLC and BRK Media LLC. Copyright 2019. All rights reserved. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug, and I reserve the right to always say, we'll see you next time back here on Money in the Morning.